Happy Monday, Bucks fans. April 23rd. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Discount Garage Doors, DGDoors.com. Draft week is here. This is so cool, so great. You wait all these months and you go through all this agony to get some real football injection back into your life. And free agency comes, and then there's a lull. And, you know, the schedule came out last week. We'll talk about that a little bit. And, of course, the draft is here, which means new players, new hope, and a new stuff to chew on as the months tick by. What is it? I think it's 139 days until kickoff, regular season kickoff. So pretty cool, but it's getting there. It feels more real. Feels more real now. That's what makes it all the more exciting. Now, if your garage door is screwed up, if it's broken, if you've been putting it off, if it doesn't look good, if you're worried that something bad is going to come crashing down on your head, call Discount Garage Doors 7 days a week and you'll get a free service call. What does that mean? That means it's a free diagnosis. They come out. They'll tell you what's wrong. They'll show you what it takes to replace it. They'll show you what it takes to fix it. If you don't want to do anything right there, no problem. Otherwise, it's a trained technician who comes to your home, licensed, insured, great Florida company, a Tampa Bay area company for just about 20 years now, serving 18 Florida counties. They've helped a lot of Joe Bucks fan readers. I need their services. I just got to clean out some crap from my garage first. But so if you're in that boat, get cleaning. But Discount Garage Doors, great company, DGDoors.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. But you know what? You probably won't even need it because they are going to be less expensive than everyone else. And they'll guarantee that. They'll make that happen for you. DGDoors.com. So, Bucks fans, let me go right to the schedule. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the schedule, but it's out there. It's important. It's pretty wild. And I think it sucks because, you know, I get that people are saying, hey, you know, you want to be tested early and, you know, you got to beat the good teams. Can't be a bunch of wimps. And you got to get after it. And so what if we've got the Saints and followed by the Eagles and the Steelers at home, three division champions, including the Super Bowl champ, to start the season. And we know what happens to NFL teams that go 0-3. So a lot of people are embracing that, and that's cool. I'm not telling anybody how to look at it, but I look at the Bucks and I look at sort of everything in sports as somebody who has played a lot of sports. I played at the college level. I played a lot of sports in high school and elsewhere. And I look at it at a schedule, at least, at the mentality of the team that's out there. And I take a feeling of how important confidence is and how desperate this team is to get off to a fast start. And you know what? Sorry, playing crappier teams early in the season helps you get off to a fast start. And I'm all for that. I'm all for crappier teams early. I'm all for, you know, getting that confidence early and doing everything we can to make that happen. Now, nobody controls the schedule. Obviously, the Bucks would not have chosen this schedule, but nobody chooses it, and this is what we've got. But it doesn't mean that somehow it doesn't suck, because it does. I would have loved to see the Bucks head off to Cincinnati for the season opener, out of any threat of the hurricane zone. Thank you, NFL, for putting us in New Orleans, where, you know, it's possible 2 years in a row things could get screwed up on opening day. I would have loved to come home for the Browns before they get their confidence that they need and may, you know, maybe catch them earlier in the season before they inevitably get better. That would have been an ideal schedule for me, but you don't get to pick. But it still sucks. And am I concerned the Bucks lose? Yeah, sure. Do I feel that they can win? Absolutely. They just beat the Saints to close the season. The Saints needed the game. The Bucks did not, but they did need it for their pride and for possibly saving their coach's job, and so their quarterback wouldn't lose 10 consecutive starts in a row, and they got it. So, you know, are the Saints some world beaters? Are the Bucks can't win? No, but they haven't played well historically in New Orleans, and they lost there in 2016. They lost there last year, got their asses kicked. And opening day is a cauldron up in New Orleans, like really every game is. It's a tough test. Eagles, Steelers, you can't predict this stuff, but it's time to step up. And I wrote over the weekend, if you didn't see it, I'll tell you about it right now. Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter, that play caller starting quarterback combination. If you look at every combo in the NFC, they have the most consecutive stretch going because, of course, several quarterbacks like a Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, they're newer quarterbacks. They don't have 3 years in a row, going back to Lovey, that Dirk and Jameis do. They don't have 3 years in a row. So, and there's new quarterbacks, there's new play callers. There's a lot of turnover at the play caller coaching position. But Dirk and Jameis, they have the longest streak going. Mike McCarthy, folks, took a year off from play calling in 2015. That's when Jameis was with Dirk Cutter. You know who also taken a year off and time off from play calling? Passed it on to Pete Carmichael, who didn't miss a beat. I think I got his name right. With the Saints, Sean Payton. He and Drew Brees took time away. So, yeah, I'm splitting hairs a little bit. It's not like Sean Payton left the country or was suspended again for a year for Bounty Gate. But the continuity of play a caller and starting quarterback, Jameis and Dirk Cutter lead the conference. There are no more excuses of young quarterback or new to the offense or Dirk's getting a feel for what he's got. No. This is the senior group right here. There are no more excuses for this offense. Frankly, even without a running back, even if they just get later round picks or maybe grab somebody on the street, no more excuses. Speaking of no excuses, please subscribe to the podcast on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. That would be great. You get a free alert that the podcast is posted, and then you can listen whenever you want. Or, of course, it's on joebucksfan.com. Leave a review. It only takes like 40 seconds. I love to see positive, negative. I don't care if you want to blast me or blast whatever you want to blast, or you just want to share a kind word, something you like, something you don't, maybe a balanced review. But do it. It raises the profile of the podcast, gives me some feedback, and help. Come on, you waste a minute doing other things, you can leave a review. So we appreciate that. Now, at joebucksfan.com, one other thing you saw over the weekend, I think it was over the weekend, but I wrote a story about Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I thought was kind of neat. It was a little nugget that Terrell Owens dropped saying that Fitzpatrick throws the best ball that he's ever received. He was asked to name who threw you the best ball of all the quarterbacks you've played for, and he said Ryan Fitzpatrick. They played about a half season together. As far as Fitz starting in Buffalo back in 2009, they made a couple of big plays, and that was his take. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Pretty nice nod from a Hall of Famer, a guy who's now finally a Hall of Famer, to Fitzpatrick. Now, in that post, I know I rankled a lot of people, shook a lot of feathers, because I said that something's going to be coming out on Tuesday, probably Tuesday, I think is the way I said it, that will make it clear why we expect here at JoeBucksFan.com that Mr. Fitzpatrick starts on opening day and why that's a strong likelihood. So am I going to discuss that here? No. Why did I tease it? Because first of all, hey, that happens all the time. Second, I was just being straight on this story that's going to go tomorrow. We're just finalizing a couple of things, giving a couple more people a chance to call back and clarify if they want to, but everything seems pretty clear. And this is going to be an explanation of why you should expect Jameis Winston to be suspended. And there's no really not much of any speculation in there. So something to look for on Joe Bucks Fan tomorrow. If I offended anybody by daring to tease that was a story for another day, probably Tuesday, sorry, but that's just the way it is. You know, this is not a diary, joebucksfan.com. When there's something to share, we share it. And we really don't operate with any kind of fear. Just wanted to, I know nobody else has it. And I just wanted to confirm a couple of things, or at least as much as I possibly could before sharing everything with you. So how about that? Bad news, of course, but we'll see. We'll see. There's always appeals and you know how that goes. It's messy and whatever. Well, you'll see tomorrow on joebucksfan.com. Now the draft, on a happier note, the draft is here, and let's not forget that our general manager is good at the draft. Do I think he's great? Do I think he's among the best in the league? He's not one of the greats. I don't give him an A. Lee DeKemper and I at JoeBucksFan.com, we believe he gets a B. Jason Light gets a B in the draft. How do you grade a draft? Do you grade it in a vacuum? You know, you just look at the pick when it's made and what the needs were. Do you look at results of the player, right? Is it fair to grade Austin Seferian Jenkins as a pick and include his success with the Jets? And now if he goes on to success, where he seems primed for success with the Jacksonville Jaguars on a good contract, is that a bonus for Jason Light? In some ways it is, because is it Mark Domenic's fault that the regime here in Tampa couldn't figure out how to use Mark Barron, who's been very successful with the Rams and has been a quality, durable football player? I mean, the guy was taken number 7 overall. That's you're supposed to be a Pro Bowler or on the cusp, and he has been that. So is that a bad pick by Domenic? I don't know. It's interesting to think about. But we've got a general manager who doesn't have a lot of picks. No third-round pick. And we've got a first-round pick, number 7 overall. We got a second-round pick. And we've got freaking craters of issues at running back and cornerback. Now, I believe the issues are greater at corner, right? Because you need two corners on the field, and we don't have two good ones. So I believe in simple math. You got two corners on the field. We don't have two good ones. Our one good one turns 35 in July, and his wife, Miko Grimes, said that he played last year at 80% all the way through the season, at best, because of injuries. And remember, Grimes' injuries started in training camp when he missed a lot of training camp, missed all of preseason after a really nasty, it would happen like 15 feet in front of me, really nasty gash of his shin that left him with deep gash and stitches and all kinds of stuff to heal and hurt his explosiveness, and that's why he sat it out. So that's what we got, a cornerback. And guys, that is a pressing need, especially because of the schedule. Now, would you rather draft a cornerback, say a Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they use him at corner, or a Denzel Ward? Would you rather draft one of those guys and have him go, as I mentioned before, to open the season in Cincinnati and then come back home for a date against Cleveland? Or would you rather send the poor kid into the Superdome on opening day? So this is where the schedule factors in. And because we all know, and here's the thing, we all know how important it is for the Bucs to avoid that 0-3. They got to win. They got to beat some good teams. There's no more time for nonsense, because the reality is, fans, you're a fan, and most fans, maybe not you personally, whoever's listening to this podcast, and I thank the many thousands of you who listen to each episode, if your team sucks early and goes 0-3, you demand answers. Your whole perspective on the season changes. When you're a player on an 0-3 team, it takes a ton of fortitude to dig out of that. And the Bucs need an instant corner, but they need a starting cornerback in this draft or a trade in a hurry. And you could say all you want. You can get guys off the street, and you know, Pac-Man Jones is still out there, and so is Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, although I've heard some rumblings that maybe he doesn't want to play anymore. But Pac-Man, I believe, does. And guys like Robert McClain, who contributed last year, he's still on the street, which is a mystery. 3 interceptions, decent on special teams, versatile, yet the guy's on the street. Dude was in the Super Bowl starting for Carolina a couple of years ago. So that's a little odd. But the Bucs have a crater at that position, and it's bigger than the one at running back. You know, a lot of people think the missing link to the Buccaneers offense is the running back. I'm not in that camp. It's nice to have a great running back. A great running game is always good. Don't get me wrong. But the Bucs moved the ball up and down the field last year, led the league in first downs. They just sucked in the red zone. Now, a good running game helps in the red zone, but I'm not going to back off what I was saying all last year to everyone who listened to me blubbering, that Doug Martin single-handedly was dragging down the running game of this team. That played out last year. And I think even if they do nothing at running back, and I hope they will, and I expect them to do something, but if they wait, if they go and they get a guy, maybe two guys in the fourth round, let's say they take one early and then they trade up and grab another one and get two backs in the fourth round and let these guys slug it out to make the team and be in the impact guy, I still think they're fine with Jaquizz Rodgers and Peyton Barber. It's not ideal, but I don't see that the team is going to be impossible to score freaking points. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have been that way last year. And they were much better without Martin. So I'm not writing off Barber. I believe the Bucks when they say they really like him. And I think that's one reason why they did not make sure they got out of free agency with a running back. We know Dirk Koetter admitted at the NFL owners meetings that they were chasing one of the bigger name running backs in free agency. We don't know which one, Deion Lewis, Carlos Hyde, but they were going after it. And Koetter understands that you need multiple running backs in this league. I think they wanted to solve the issue right there, right then and there. And it didn't happen, but point is cornerback to me is a much bigger need than running back. But then the question is, do you draft for need? And then the question is, if you have a cornerback that you need to develop, is this the right staff to do that? Yeah, Lee DeCamper, my pal, my guy, the other Joe at Joe Bucks Fan, he's the Joe, those of you who listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast, know that he's the Joe who keeps writing, he's going to go light candles if the Bucks for the souls of any cornerback drafted by the Bucks in the first round. And I get it. I don't agree to that extreme, but I get it. This is not a well-coached group of cornerbacks and a staff that you can believe in. So play to your strengths. Don't go draft a cornerback that you hope to develop. It's not playing to your strength. And when you play to your strengths, you do better. That's the main reason why we're all in agreement here that trade down if you can, because Light is good with picks. I'd rather see Light with three picks in the first three rounds than one or two. Excuse me, but he's got two right now. So I'd rather see the numbers. I'd rather see the numbers. The odds are better. Light is so quick, and he did it at his pre-draft news conference. He's so quick to say, hey, just about a 50% bust rate in the first round and 50% in the second round, and you know it's tough. And that's all very true. Go look at the second round picks from 2015. You're not going to see very many. You'll see Ali Marpet. You will see Donovan Smith. But go find names that are impact or strong players in that list. That's a tough list, man. The second round is tough sledding. Tough sledding. But that said, the Bucks have needs, and I think one of their biggest needs, forget about the position stuff, is more picks. And this draft is going to challenge Jason Light's mettle here to, if he can't get one of those three picks, he's got to play the right game of poker. And I say those three, Quentin Nelson, Chubb, or Barkley, because you can make a great case for either one, and I think either one would have a significant impact from day one, which is very important for this team. Now, Chubb, you know, they don't need him to be on the field making an incredible impact, but I still think he could get out there as a situational rusher and be a problem in the fourth quarter against the Saints and be that guy late against the Steelers. Those are the plays and the players you need to win football games, to close them out. That was the Bucks' biggest problem last year, was closing out games, among many other big problems. But as far as the draft, and I got a little bit off track, which is okay. The train got a little going here. I got Anheuser's from too much drinking last night, as our good friend Rock Riley likes to say, Anheuser's. But although I was just drinking craft beer at Pint and Brew in Palm Harbor, great place, Pint and Brew, if you haven't been there. But as far as the Bucks go at running back, I think that's a lesser need, and the coaching staff is not strong at the development on the guys in the back end. So go with the strengths, get the more picks, focus on the strengths, and there's a trade out there for Light, or to get a cornerback later to compete, or guys off the street. Would it be so bad to stick Pac-Man Jones in there and see what happens? I mean, if you think he's fit, if you think he's mentally fit and physically fit, the dude can play cornerback. He can also return some kicks. He's better than Ryan Smith. I mean, if this team tries to sell us again that Ryan Smith is a number three cornerback, that's what they did last year going into the season. Now, if they're trying to sell that he's a number two, he's not. Rondé Barber himself even said recently that Smith's a number four and maybe he could become a number three. The Bucs are in a pickle when it comes to the needs of this team and how they're going to approach him, but they need impact guys, man. They need impact guys if they can't get one of those big three. Now, my brain's coming back. If they can't get one of those big three, this is really going to test Light's ability to deal with other general managers, his ability to set the wheels in motion long before the draft, have the proper potential scenarios out there so he can trade down effectively. Maybe bluff with the Bears. You know, they don't need a quarterback. Maybe there's somebody out there the Bears want that Light has already convinced them that they want the same guy. You know, maybe you flop back one spot with the Bears if you can juke them and get a third round pick out of it. I don't know. The Bears have done a lot of stupid moves before. We saw what they did in the draft last year with the Giants. Pretty much got, not the Giants, San Francisco 49ers. It got the regime fired in Denver, in Chicago. So don't rule out those kinds of moves where Light can acquire picks, because he's good at it. More good picks helps his resume. And this does get personal. And we wrote about this. It didn't go over too well at Joe Bucs Fan when the schedule came out. We wrote that, would fear affect Jason Light's decisions in the draft. And most of you, I'm sure, thought that was stupid. But you know what? When you have the opportunity to get somebody to know somebody a little bit as a human being, like we've done with Jason Light, and you recognize that, okay, this is a guy who doesn't have another contract for next year. And yes, he's a wealthy man. Yes, he's made a lot of money and high-ranking suit positions in the NFL. And he's not crying for cash, and he could always go back and work as a scout. No one's crying for Jason Light's pocketbook. But he's still a human being who's living at a standard and would love to stay in Tampa and has been here 4 years and has a few kids and is a family man and isn't eager to get out of here. He wants to save his job. And in the NFL, you do that with wins. And you know what? When you're human and you don't have a new contract, you make decisions based on your family sometimes and your resume and keeping your job. We've all done that. Most of us anyway have done that in our lives. So why not Jason Light? Now, that's, some people may think that's a crappy way to look at it, and that's a loser GM, and that's an ownership group, if they're setting him up for that kind of thing, that is wrong. And those feelings may be right, they may be wrong, I don't know. Maybe they're not fair, but the reality is Light's human, and he's going to keep that in the back of his mind. Maybe that breaks a tie. Urgency is everything here. We don't know how the Glazers have talked to Light about his future, but it doesn't really matter. He knows he's got to win. And again, the Bucs need an impact cornerback. And if I had to bet, I would say that drives the pick. Although if the trade down is there, I think Light does it, because he knows, numbers-wise, gambling-wise, it's best in his best interest to get some more picks. Right now, we're going to hear quickly from the commish on Thursday's draft party, Buffalo Wild Wings, the big blowout. I'll be there. Ira Kaufman, Rock Riley, the commish. Tons of fans. Awesome. Here's what you need to know.
The 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is coming up fast, April 26th and 27th. It's a two-night event, but that first night, it's going to be wild. We've got a $20 all-you-can-eat buffet, 2,500-square-foot tent outside, a huge HD LED screen to show the draft, and a DJ pumping tunes all night to keep the party going all night long. We will have giveaways sporadically throughout the night, and a major announcement. If you're a Bucks fan, you are going to want to be in attendance for this big announcement we will have that Thursday night. Again, two-night event. It's April 26th and 27th at the Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa off of Southdale Mabry. Join me, Justin Pulowski, the commish, for the 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. And speak softly and carry that big mother boom, you dump a stick.
Thank you, commish. Thank you, commish. If the Lightning game is going on, there'll be some TVs. You can watch that inside. Don't worry if it's game one of the season. You're not going to get audio, but you'll see the game. Don't sweat that. If you're not listening to our Lightning podcasts, Tom Lang, Joe Bolts Fan podcast, is awesome. He is a lifelong Lightning fan, literally lifelong Lightning fan. Became a fan, I think he was 5 years old. He had family work for the organization. He knows the team inside and out. Works for ESPN Tallahassee, Joe Bolt's Fan Podcast, and Todd Wright, who you know from ESPN Radio, local radio. He's got the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, which is running a couple of times a week, and he does a great job. Todd is money, especially in this podcast format, which is perfect for his sharp takes and quick delivery of cutting to the chase, and just it's good stuff. I'm not even a big hockey fan, and I listen to him. And I really enjoy him. Tom's got the Joe. I think he's got the Joe attitude down as far as bringing the energy and bringing the love for the team. It's a lot of fun. Check out the podcasts online. Now, Kendall Beckwith got smashed up in a car accident, unfortunately, last week. We learned about that from Jason Light, and that's a big blow. I mean, you look at a kid and you say Beckwith is supposed to make a leap from year one to year two. They always say the good players, the best players, most players improve most from year one to year two. Well, Beckwith, he's got his ankle shattered and had surgery, and Jason Light is sitting there talking last week that, hey, he might not be ready for the regular season. And that's a blow. Beckwith took more snaps at linebacker than any Buccaneer last year, and he's a good player. Last pick of the third round, impressive pick. It seemed like maybe he hit the rookie wall a little bit last year, or they caught up to him a little bit, which is fine. You know, he was 8 months off a ACL surgery when he even made the team and started it in training camp, which was a miracle. I was blown away that he was even playing. But this talk that he may be a fast healer and that could be good for his ankle, I think that's just wishful thinking. I mean, look, the guy hurt his ankle in a car crash, surgery. It's not good. It's not good. I feel bad for him. I don't expect the Bucks to address it in the draft. They've got a Darius Glanton who changed his name, and Devontae Bond is somebody the organization likes, and he's a good tackler, which I like that. You need that for early in the season. He's just a good tackler. I think that's his strength, and that's not the strength of the NFL early in the year, so I'd go with that. And speaking of tackling, I'd love to see it. I'm not one to knock Dirk Koetter for the softer practices that other people have. I look at it in a different light. But given this schedule, Koetter knows that they have to be overly ready early. They've got to be. And I really think that he will make some changes, ramp up practice in training camp a little bit to be ready for what's coming in those first three games. And I hope so. I think it would be a smart strategy. He might not do it. He's a pretty stubborn guy, set in his ways, but he believes in the system, but it's a different year with that schedule. It just is a different season. One thing that'll be different, and this is coming down this week, fanretreat.com, who supported joebucksfan.com, and you may have heard of them. It's a one-stop shop for tickets, travel, hotels, event tickets, all sorts of games, sports, whatever. Use your Joe Bucks Fan code. You'll get a discount on Lightning tickets, Bucks tickets. However, this week you're going to get a code. It's coming soon. You're going to get a code that you can text Bucks to that code, to that number, and you'll be able to set up with a code for $50 off any Bucks tickets order of $100 or more, which is awesome. This is a secondary market ticket site. Great savings, and considering the Bucks are gouging fans, you people who've looked at tickets already know, for the Eagles game and the Steelers game, a significant savings opportunity is coming your way from Fan Retreat, so look for that on joebucksfan.com. The draft, it's exciting times. One thing that I wrote up on Joe Bucks Fan today, if you take a look at it, the video, you really got to turn up the volume, but you get a look. It appears to be from today. It's Gerald McCoy training with his fellow defensive linemen. They're just talking on the field. This is the time of year where it's conditioning only. No coaches yet. The guys come in for, and they slowly phase into working with coaches in May on the field with stuff. And now it's more conditioning, and it's just these crazy NFL rules. But anyway, McCoy's out there, and he's with the defensive line. It appears that everybody's there. You can't get close enough, but it's official Buccaneers video. But they were pumping the audio of it. And if you listen carefully, McCoy is sort of talking about how they got to change their approach and they got to, you know, take everything to the next level. And he, it appears like Vinnie Curry interrupts him, the Eagles defensive end, interrupts him and sort of has a question about the way McCoy is phrasing things. And McCoy says something like, oh, no, it's, oh, I'm talking about myself, too. We can't have weak links. And then he goes on to sort of give a two-sentence lecture on why the Eagles were so good last year, why their defensive line was so good, which is odd because it's coming from McCoy. How the hell does he know? And clearly Gerald's trying to lead. He always does. I don't think he's really cut out for it. And I'm not sure what the value of that leadership is. But what's important to note is that Brenton Buckner, the D-line coach, the guy who's going to set the tone, he's high energy. He played a lot of years in the league, got himself a deep in the playoffs, was a star player, unsung defensive tackle, but still a star. He's not in there yet setting the tone. And when he does, everything could look a lot different. But watching McCoy in that circle, it's 1 minute with the guys, and it is just awkward. I don't know how else to say it. It's just awkward. Probably means a whole pile of crap, but that's the kind of thing we look at in April. Things that become piles of crap, but not always. You know, when you really look, you start. That's when you really start to learn. I hope you all enjoy the draft. I hope you come out to our draft party on Thursday night. The intensity, the fun. People are still talking about last year's. It's really the only way I know how to say it. It was that good. People of all ages, people flying in from 14 states, four countries. The hotel we set up was booked solid and the room sold out. So really exciting times. And man, I'm going to leave it at that. Let's go Bucks. We need to fill needs. We need talent. We need everything we can get to avoid everything we don't want, which is an 0-3 start. The fans deserve better. We can be competitive. The Bucks have enough juice to get to the bye week at 2-2 this year, which would be, I don't want to say that's a goal, but that would be pretty darn good considering what we're up against and where this team is. And the schedule gets easier after that, if there is such a thing. So high hopes, high expectations. We're not going to be cringing at anything. And go Bucks.